Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. How about Sunday night in Boston? You'll have the Chiefs take it on the Patriots on Sunday Night Football. At the same time, the ALCS goes on between the Red Sox and the Astros. Also, the Celtics and Bruins opening up seasons that could end up in the finals with championship aspirations. More good times for Boston as a sports city. Joining us here on the show is legendary Boston Globe columnist Dan Shaughnessy. Dano, good morning.
Hey, DA, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks, as always, for joining us. And we start with the Red Sox and the Yankees. Were you surprised at all with how seemingly easily the Red Sox were able to dispatch their arch nemesis?
Yes. I mean, I was at all of them. And, you know, after game two, I can tell you there was a lot of, you know, nervousness in Boston. And just the way that that game went with all the home runs and Price blowing up and Boston's bullpen having imploded in the first game, I think that overall, because of all those factors, it was just a notion that they were in trouble, and I picked the Yanks. I did. I thought the Yanks were going to win the series. And we get to New York, and that was a statement night. You know, I mean, Cora made four lineup changes before Game 3, and then Eovaldi went out and pitched great. Cora actually predicted what he would do. He said, seven innings, one run, which is what happened. And that kind of changed everything. And, I mean, the Red Sox never trailed in the two games there. And I know they almost blew it in, you know, Kimbrel in the ninth inning of Game 4, but they led throughout. They did not give up a home run in two games there. And, yeah, so the totality of it was I would have picked the Yankees, and I was surprised the Sox were able to get rid of them in four.
Do you think it's a mistake for Alex Cora to go back to David Price in this LCS?
I do, but he's on such a roll that you wonder. I mean, we know that Price has trouble in the playoffs as a starter. We know that he has a lot of trouble against the Yankees. And I think the Fenway crowd is not his friend. So all these things, you know, the Yanks aren't part of the equation now, but I thought they would give him a safe landing spot in Game 4. You only have to pitch him once as a starter. You take him out of Boston, and you could use him in the bullpen absent that. And he pitched well in the bullpen against Houston in the playoffs last year. But those things, you know, didn't happen. And so here we are. My guess is the analytics are telling him this is the way to go. And that, I mean, Price is 39-19 over his 3 years in Boston. I mean, he's 20 games over 500. There's this notion that he's been some colossal bum bust thing. And no, by and large, he's been darn good. And he is their number two starter. And I think that they want the player to feel that way going into this series. And they must have, I mean, there was a series in Houston this year. Boston, they only played some two series, and they lost the first two in Houston in a spring series, and then Price came out and beat them on a Saturday in Game 3 of the series and turned it around for them. So I believe it's a baseball decision. It's a little bit of a morale decision, and they obviously have some notion of what they're going to do with relievers, what they're going to do with Eovaldi, Porcello out of the pen, et cetera. And it's hard to question them right now, given how well things have worked.
Dan Shaughnessy, Boston Globe, joins us here on the show. As you mentioned, David Price has a complicated relationship right now in Boston. It's not that he's been terrible, but he is very much not a fan favorite because of his attitude,
maybe his defiance, and certainly how he's performed in the postseason. How ugly do you think this would get between him and the city, which can eat its own, if he has a blow-up in a game two?
Well, I mean, things have pretty much bottomed out for him on multiple occasions here. It's hard to imagine it getting much lower. Excuse me, and there's a lot of good feel around the team right now. But, his first year he won 17, he got $217 million. So that's the first strike against you. You start off with that, $31 million a year, better be the best. Well, he wasn't, but he was first year he won 17, led the majors in innings. I'll take that. It wasn't good enough here, and he blew up in his playoff start. The Tribe knocked him out in the fourth inning. So the legacy goes on. He can't pitch in the playoffs. Second year he gets hurt. He misbehaves. He insults Dennis Eckersley. He ambushes him on an airplane, never apologizes. Everybody hates him. This year you had some of the Fortnite nonsense where he can't pitch because of carpal tunnel syndrome. In New York, we said it might actually be Lincoln Tunnel Syndrome, whatever. And, he missed a start because of that. Then he finally starts in New York, gives up five bombs, and worst start of his career. And then in the playoffs, as you saw last week, doesn't get out of the second. So, yeah, there's a lot going on here. He's behaved much better this year. He's not the devil. He's a smart guy. I'm curious as to how he will react on Saturday. And again, the weather's another factor, D.A., because, in Houston, climate control, you close the roof, everything's perfect. He likes that. The cold weather hasn't been his friend. You'll know pretty early on. If he's fidgeting and hesitant to throw, tugging at his uniform, then we're probably going into a bad, dark place.
Hmm. So on Sunday night, we'll have the Chiefs and the Patriots, and this could be an AFC Championship game preview. This would feel like a bad matchup for the Patriots because the Chiefs can sling it all over the place, strong-arm quarterback, and the secondary of the Patriots is probably one of their weaknesses. Do you expect Patrick Mahomes to be able to exploit that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't think the Patriots are that good. I'm like Trent Dilfer, but then they're always in the AFC Championship game 7 years in a row. I feel like a lot of it's smoke and mirrors now that it's the coaching, it's the schemes, it's the conference, it's the horrible division they're always in. But that the people on the other side of the ball are as talented or more, but they just lose their minds. Bill O'Brien did that in the opener here this year. I mean, it's just like it's you can count on it. Kansas City's a little different. We know that they basically routed these guys in the opener last year in Foxborough, so they've got that. And we all remember 4 years ago in Kansas City when they spanked them. So not many guys left from that. But at the same time, I mean, New England's they look ripe for. If an elite quarterback can carve them up, is Mahomes that yet? He certainly has been to this point, but he's young. And Belichick, does pretty well against young quarterbacks.
Patriots fans bristle when I bring up the division, but is it not one of the greatest sports strokes of luck that the Patriots for 20 years have resided in a division where nobody else can get their crap together?
Yeah, and Patriot fans, they're crazed about that, and they're wrong. It's not that the Patriots automatically win six games or that and the Pats fans will say, well, the AFC East against the field has this. Well, that's because the Patriots are in it. Of course they're better against the field. But no, Miami, Jets, Bills all suck year after year. That's it. 15 out of 17 for New England, 100 in a row, whatever it is. Play a little parlor game sometime and try to name the second-best quarterback in the AFC East in the last 18 years. It's probably Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, you might be able to make a case for Tannehill. Pennington with the Jets. So it's this rotation of new coaches, new quarterbacks, new systems, and it just never gets any better. So by Thanksgiving, they've always got it wrapped up. So there's no push. Now, right now, there's a lot of 3-2 going on. We understand that. But the Dolphins came in here undefeated, and we're basically mathematically eliminated from the race while still being in first place. I mean, it all happened the same day. Anybody who watched that game knows what I'm talking about. It's over. That's it. So we know, and we know they're going to get the first round bye, second round home game. Win one, you're in the AFC Championship. That's where they want to be. That's where they are every year. The division is a big part of that.
Dan Shaughnessy joining us this morning on the show. He is all over the Red Sox and the ALCS. He's all over the Patriots as well. Big one against the Chiefs coming up on Sunday. Obviously, you can follow him on Twitter at Dan_Shaughnessy and read his stuff in the Boston Globe regularly on all of this. Dan, it's always good to catch up, my man. Thanks so much.
Thanks, D.A.
Dan Shaughnessy telling it like it is, which is why I love him. And this is just the cold, hard truth. And look, a lot of people are just not conditioned to like the truth these days because we are bubble wrapped in society to where you don't have to hear the news that you don't want to hear. You don't have to hear the angle. You don't want to hear it. But this is just the cold, hard truth that Pats fans bristle against because it somehow takes away from the quote unquote greatness of the Patriots. But here's the fact. The Patriots get 5 or 6 games on the schedule, 5 or 6 wins every year on the schedule. Now, the Steelers don't. Packers don't. Giants don't. Falcons don't. Eagles don't. Nobody else does. Nobody else gets 5 or 6 wins a year granted to them in the regular season. That means you can begin every year knowing we're minimum 5 or 6 wins in the bank. Because every 3 or 4 years, the Jets change a coach and a quarterback. The Bills the same way. The Dolphins the same way. They're always spinning their tires, and they can never catch up to the Pats. And some of that is trying to catch up to the Pats. But a lot of it is just this remarkable stroke of luck where for 20 years, nobody's been able to get it together. The Jets had to go in for a little bit with Rex Ryan, but that's not sustainable. Mark Sanchez was not a good quarterback. And Rex Ryan, look, one head coaching gig and he was done. So you get granted 5 or 6, you get grandfathered 5 or 6 wins a year. And as Dan just said, after Thanksgiving, you're not playing meaningful games anymore. You get to prepare. You get to hold stuff back. You get to get healthy. Yeah, you're chasing a bye, but you know what? When you have 5 or 6 wins against the field already, you know, it's a lot easier to take your foot off the gas late in the season. You're able to work through things early. You're not in true chases. We talked about this last week. Tom Brady said it's not really how we play in September, October. We're just trying to tinker with things and get a little better. We want to play well in November, December. Well, they can take a breather for 2 months in the beginning of the season because there's no race for them to win the division. Thus, they always get a home playoff game, way better than going on the road because they don't play well on the road in the playoffs, and they always get a bye. So that means rest, home game, and a lesser team coming into your house for that first playoff game. I mean, you can say what you want about the greatness of Brady, and he's great, and the greatness of Belichick, and he's great, and the greatness of Kraft, and he's been a very good owner. But the simple fact of the matter is, since 2001, the Patriots have been in a division with bozos at every turn. And that has given them this amazing insulation against the problems that every other team faces. Every other team faces a problem. Trying to win the division, trying to win division games, trying to get a home game, playing important games late, playing important games early. The Pats have never had to deal with that. And it makes life a lot easier because you get to way more AFC championship games, you host way more playoff games, and eventually you get to more Super Bowls. I'm not saying they're not great, but the fact is they've had 20 years of bubble wrap around their existence because the rest of the division has stunk. And it continues this year. When we come back here on the show, where the hell did the Case Keenum magic go? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
Oh, wow, he's coughing. Oh, now they're spit. They're spit right on his chin, dripping down. Oh, that's a gag.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
21 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. I've been publishing some of the behind-the-scenes pictures and videos of our trip to Boise, Idaho on my Instagram page. So you can go there and follow that. Check out the Instagram story there. I have a lot of great pictures and great moments of our trip to Boise. So if you want to check it out, follow me on Instagram at Damon Amendo. And you can see those as part of the Instagram story at Damon Amendo. CBS Sports' Super Bowl season continues with a fantastic doubleheader this weekend. First, an intense AFC North battle when Pittsburgh collides with Cincinnati. Then the NFL's top defense, the Jacksonville Jaguars, heads to Dallas to take on the Cowboys. The day kicks off with the NFL Today, powered by Ram Trucks at 12 Eastern on CBS. Next hour, we're going to have Chad Pennington join us here on the show, two-time comeback player of the year. And we were scheduled to have the Battle of the Bulge, Huge Freeze, a.k.a. He Who Shall Not Be Named, a.k.a. Superstorm Robbie, join us here on the show to make his college football picks. The update on the tote board is Mraz still leads by two games. Mraz is 8-7. Huge Freeze is 6-9. They both went 1-2 last week. Robbie was scheduled to be in studio coming up 1 hour from now. However, nothing with Robbie is ever easy. Now, Mraz, tell me how much of this is legit. Robbie has tweeted at me, "My appearance with DA will have to be over the phone thanks to the LIRR this week." That's the Long Island Railroad. "They cut power to the third rail, the air conditioning, and are passing these out." And he has taken a picture of a purified box of water. It's never easy with Robbie. Never. How much are we buying that Robbie actually is stuck on an official transit delay on the Long Island Railroad, or how much of it is that he is running late or making excuses and he cannot make it in because of his own problems?
I'm going to go, I 98% believe him.
You believe him? You're okay. Always the one that never believes Robbie.
Here's the bit. I, too, am a Long Island Railroad customer. This may not mean anybody to across the country. They always have problems. Today, apparently, it's being reported an unauthorized person climbed into the train tunnels that enter Manhattan from Long Island and was struck. So, therefore, obviously, many of the trains going into Manhattan today have either been canceled or severely delayed. Robbie, I'm following this massive situation here, hoping that it clears up for my ride home.
Has to be massive if Robbie's involved.
And Robbie is texting me pictures of him stuck on the train, like, you know, of the outside of the train. I've actually seen a picture of him on the train. Now, the reason I only give it at 98, not 100, for this situation would be, Robbie's not an idiot. I'm sure he follows the Long Island Railroad on Twitter, being a Long Island resident as well. He could have woken up and gotten a late start and was maybe relieved at the fact that somebody was struck in a tunnel and a Long Island Railroad was canceled, and therefore could go, well, this is my in. I could just say I was taking the train in and I had no way of getting in, and I'll just, you know, steal pictures off Instagram and Twitter of this ongoing situation because I've yet to see him a picture on the train. So I do believe him, but there's still that chance of Robbie. He woke up lazily and found his way into an easy excuse. He's also notified me via text. I emailed DA my picks, but please tell him I'm waiving the Gophers game and I'd like to take LSU Georgia instead.
Oh, okay.
So all of a sudden now he's on a train delay and it's convenient that he could switch picks. So this whole thing is really fishy.
How about that?
I will say this, though. I feel like we have questioned Robbie's his commitment, his work ethic for years now. And that's always been the thing that has gotten him in the most hot water. I would say I have never seen him more committed to any responsibility professionally than making these picks every week. Would you agree?
Yeah, that's because eating a P.F. Chang's isn't a professional responsibility for him.
Robbie.
So you're saying making picks on this show, he is as committed as eating at P.F. Chang's?
Yes, yes. If he tells me, guy comes in with more coupons than I've ever seen in my life. Oh, look, it's, you know, buy one, get one dumpling day. Both for me.
Well, he did email me his picks last night, and so I feel as though he is committed to today's program, and he will just join us by phone from a broken Long Island Railroad.
Yeah, he did offer to come in studio tomorrow, but I, you know, we're not doing that. It's a Thursday thing. I'm not giving him another day to figure out his picks. Then we start having controversy. Get on the phone, sing your fat ass, and let's go.
I've seen fire and I've seen rain. Oh.
Can you give me Viva Las Vegas, Pete? I haven't heard that one enough. I'm just waiting to see what Robbie sings this morning because that really is the highlight of my week.
Sweet Sin City, gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire.
That's right.
Viva Las Vegas, Viva Las Vegas, Viva, Viva Las Vegas.
Would it surprise anybody if the fight between McGregor's people and Khabib's people actually had Robbie at the epicenter of it? Like, is it possible one of those entourages swung at Robbie because he had had octagon side seats?
Correct. Yeah, that doesn't shock me.
He was at that fight.
It also just struck on me. Imagine being stuck on a train that's not moving and Robbie is in the two-seater with you. Oh, my goodness. Not a lot of room to breathe there.
How about that?
By the way, where has the Case Keenum magic gone? I was all in on Case Keenum last year. I was fired up. Case was having that Cinderella season. Adam Thielen had become a Pro Bowler with him. Stephon Diggs, the Minneapolis Miracle. The Vikings were headed to the Super Bowl with an unheralded quarterback from Wiley, Texas, and the Houston Cougars bringing them there. He was brilliant last season. Case Keenum had played for the Texans, the Rams, then the Vikings. And here he was thrown for 3,500 yards, 22 touchdowns against only 7 picks, and leading the Vikings to the NFC Championship game. Now, they were able to upgrade with Kirk Cousins in the offseason, which I agreed with. I said, look, Cousins is a better quarterback than Case Keenum. You want to bet on Cousins. He's done it better, longer. You're a great team already with a great defense. You know what? Bring Cousins in. I totally get it. But Case has dissolved into a puddle this year. I mean, after a seemingly fugazi first couple of wins of the season by the Broncos, they're 2-3. They got smashed by the Jets. He has thrown 5 touchdowns against 7 interceptions. And he is one of the worst quarterbacks in all of the NFL. And right now, the Denver Broncos are potentially keeping the door open for Chad Kelly to take over. Chad Kelly was Mr. Irrelevant 2 years ago. Case Keenum is one of the worst quarterbacks right now in the NFL. And we saw him miss the game-winning touchdown against the Chiefs a couple of Monday nights ago in the end zone wide open. He has a quarterback rating of just 78, which is almost at the bottom for starting quarterbacks in the NFL. Chad Kelly's, he's bigger, stronger, better arm, but does not have the experience that Case Keenum does. And he didn't lead a team into a division title just last year. The magic is gone from Case, and I got to tell you, this is a little worrisome for me because Case wrote a book this offseason, and we are scheduled to have Case Keenum on the show coming up here in a couple of weeks. Right, Mraz? It was supposed to happen during the Broncos bye week. We were supposed to have Case Keenum on. Is he going to still be pimping a book about how glorious last season was when he might lose his job to Mr. Irrelevant this season?
I think we might get Chad Kelly instead coming here.
Is Chad Kelly writing a quick leaflet that he can promote? Maybe just self-publish it on Amazon or something? I mean, what is going to happen with Case Keenum? Is Chad Kelly going to get the job and Keenum's going to still be pimping his book from last year?
It's a bad look. I mean, last year still happened, but you can't be doing that. I mean, how about pimp the playbook and figure out what's going on with yourself?
I mean, the Denver Broncos are not good right now. They're not good. And it doesn't get any better. They get the Rams in town this week. Let's just go ahead and assume that Jared Goff throws for a bunch of yards and Case Keenum doesn't. And the Broncos lose this game. They've lost the last 3 in a row. And then they're at Arizona on a short week. And I think we're supposed to have them after that short week with a bye in between, I think. But either way, I mean, they're going to go to Kansas City and Case Keenum's going to be the quarterback? I got a hard time believing that in a couple of weeks. I think by the time he comes around to us on this book tour, he's going to be the backup quarterback.
Well, we could ask him to break down Chad Kelly versus Patrick Mahomes. That should be a great AFC West match.
What do we do there? And then I've got to be kind of mean to him, right? I mean, I have to.
Well, I mean, we'll
see. I'd be a fraud if I'm going to talk about how terrible he is.
But what if his wife brings breakfast waffles or victory waffles? That was like their big thing on Hard Knocks.
That's true. true. Do I go light on him if he's got victory waffles?
I mean, I still got Goldies in my blood, so maybe we need some Keenum victory waffles. If he brings breakfast, I think you go light.
Yeah, we're all hopped up on Goldies still coursing through our veins.
I'm starving here. I'm in detox. I need it bad.
You're in withdrawal?
I'm in withdrawal. So
Goldie's
bad.
Withdrawal?
Goldie's. So I thought about ordering a bacon, egg, and cheese. Didn't happen. No, I got to do something here. Got to make a playful lunch.
I got to do something here.
I think he's sweating.
He's like a jerky boy.
Dude,
now.
I haven't slept, and I feel like I haven't eaten. I am dying here these
like
last couple days.
Your face is glistening.
Yeah, you look very pale.
I'm getting droopy. My eyes are getting glossy.
And the Yankees lost. Yeah, I don't know if you know.
I heard that.
Yeah. Shockingly.
Giants lose. Tomorrow, bets are off. I fall off the rails again. Pancakes galore in here. I'll be throwing them like frisbees.
Yeah, but you were telling us. You were telling us earlier in the week that after you came back from Boise and all those starches and all those potatoes and all of those meats, you were going to cleanse and eat just vegetables and grilled chicken this week.
No drinking this weekend.
Right.
No, I agree. I had a shrimp salad last night. No, I agree. But right now things have changed because I'm getting really hungry and I don't know how long I can go on living like this. I had one of those diet shakes for breakfast and I can't do it. I purposely, by the way, I didn't even tell my wife this, I forgot my second shake just so I could get lunch today.
You purposely forgot it. So
yeah.
Forgot in air quotes.
Well,
you
yes.
left it.
I left it just, what am I supposed to do? I need lunch.
But you don't look good. You look sick.
I do. I'm telling you, man, I haven't slept. My voice is cracking. I have no energy. I'm pale. Things have fallen apart here after Idaho.
You look as if you had played a game as Mark Bavaro and got beat up by NFL teams.
As you wear your Mark Bavaro shirt.
Yeah. I'm surprised I have a black guy. Look, all I know is I contracted something. I don't know if it's the worn down. I don't know if it's the airports. I am patient zero or X or Y. Which
You're-
one?
Patient
movie outbreak.
Zero, because it's circular. It's
right.
Around.
Okay.
It's round. So let me also say, is it possible you have the curse of the Aztecs on you? The curse of Rocky Long. But the Aztecs, as an empire, definitely had some curses that they would throw down on their enemies. It's possible San Diego State winning that game, you ripping the Aztecs as Rocky Long overheard you. Threw the curse of the Aztecs on you.
I can't have a curse on me. I got things to do, people to see. How do you shake a curse? Be like big, I'm driving all over the country looking for the stupid thing. The genie there to grant me out of the hex. I got to find Rocky Long sitting in a box to please take the curse off me.
Was there a road trip in big?
Yeah, he leaves Jersey to go into the city, right? Got to find a fair. I got to find Rocky.
It's not like he's going across the country.
Mraz is walking on a giant piano trying to find Rocky Long in a box.
Oh, look, Robert Loggia.
When we come back here on the show, your best audio of the day. How about Snoop Dogg weighing in on switching his favorite teams? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's new on CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Brand new permission granted podcast is out. Go download it on our website, daoncbs.com, or check it out on iTunes. It has its own iTunes feed, permission granted podcast. And then also, of course, on the normal DA Show podcast feed, find it on iTunes or other places. Podcasts are downloaded. It's the show about the show. And this week, we go inside the behind the scenes of our trip to Boise. That's this week's permission granted podcast. And the origin of how we ended up in Boise and the timeline of how we ended up in Boise. Our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too? Get it all. Geico.com. The toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Charles tweets, the issue with Case Keenum is that the Broncos, the AFC West, with the Broncos, is the AFC West is no joke, man. Hashtag KC for life. Yeah, I mean, I think the Chiefs are totally legit. I'm not convinced that the Chargers or the Oakland Raiders are. The Raiders have had their fair share of problems, and the Chargers did not live up, and I knew they would not live up to preseason expectations of being one of the best teams of the AFC. I thought they had too many holes in that offense, not enough support in that city. I didn't like how they came off of last year. I thought they were too one-dimensional, and I'm not impressed by their coach at this point in time. And so I didn't think the Chargers were going to be very good this year. The Chiefs are the real deal. Nobody else in that division really is. I think the bigger problem is that Case Keenum had lightning in a bottle. We've seen this happen before. Derek Anderson was like this. He was a career backup and then had one season where everything came together. Momentum helped him. He had good relationships with the skill position guys, and they were able to win 10 games in Cleveland. Same thing is happening here with Case Keenum, I think, in Minnesota. The law of averages was Keenum was going to go end up being an average quarterback and go back to the pumpkin after the chariot last year. Doesn't have the defense that he did in Minnesota, although this year's Vikings defense isn't very good, and the Broncos defense are no slouches either, but he just is not able to move the chains the same way he did last year, not able to kind of create the magic that he had last year, and sometimes momentum is an enormous thing in sports where you play better than you actually are. I think that happened with the Vikings last year, maybe in general, because this year Minnesota doesn't seem nearly to have the same strength that it had last season. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. Appreciate all the tweets coming in. It's been a lot of fun over the last couple of weeks since we were going en route to Boise, coming back from Boise, and Charles tweeted at me, DA, you know, you said that sometimes you're not sure if your show has an impact on the people that tune in, but I want to tell you that it does, and it has me with my trash job, which sucks, and the only thing that helps me is you guys, no joke, your show, thank you. Mraz is better than lame Mr. Freeze. Mad love, guys. Appreciate that very much. It's very nice to hear that hopefully we can make things maybe a little easier on you if you got to go to work or got stuff to do or things are going on in your life. I appreciate that very much. Speaking of Mr. Freeze, which I like that is now a new nickname, Huge Freeze being called Mr. Freeze.
He doesn't deserve respect to have a mister.
Well, his picks are pretty cold. So I think if he picks your game, it's kind of like you're frozen. It's a Mr. Freeze situation.
But he's already Huge Freeze. How many times are we going to double up with the cold puns here?
Well, his picks have been good. And so maybe it's kind of a...
Huge Extra Freeze?
It's a derogatory term. Mr. Freeze. He's going to put the freeze on the picks.
I don't like it. Just like you tried to give respect to Six by calling him Mr. Six, that stuck. Enough. He's got the Huge Freeze name. No Mister.
I like giving respect to cameo appearances on our show, though. Characters on the show. They deserve that.
No. Huge Freeze doesn't deserve a Mister. Ever. It's like putting Doctor in front of his name. He's just huge. No
it's
mister.
The same as Doctor? Mister is the same as Doctor?
Well, it's a sign of respect. What respect has he earned? His name is Huge Freeze. It stays huge.
Dr. Freeze is not a bad nickname, actually.
Dr. Freeze.
He sounds maniacal.
I've like seen fire and I've seen rain.
He's Mraz's villain. Let's get to your best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Snoop Dogg is a renowned lifelong Steelers fan, but visited the Browns practice.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg. Dog Pound, y'all better turn up this week, man. Y'all got a new feeling, new spirit. Let's go get it done, Dog Pound.
That's our sound?
That's all we had. I thought Snoop-a-Loop was worth it.
But that doesn't sound like he's beginning to become a Browns fan.
No, the question is Snoop Dogg a fraud? Because he visited Browns practice because he knows Hugh Jackson from his Raider days. And Snoop always puts out videos as a big Steeler fan.
Right.
So by going to the Browns and basically trying to encourage them, it gives the question, wait a minute, is he trying to be a Browns fan? If he is Snoop Dogg a big fraud? That's the tease here.
Well, the Browns host the Chargers this weekend while the Steelers are in Cincinnati to take on the Bengals. I don't think it's even close for Steelers and Browns, even though they have the same record right now. They're both 2-2-1. Even though the Steelers and Browns are right now the same in the standings, I'm not going to say this is suddenly him becoming a fan or being a fraud, because rooting on the Browns is like rooting on your 7-year-old brother to beat up the kids in high school. I mean, they're still the Browns. They still win nothing. They still are one of the lower teams of the NFL. Now, they have had a much better uptick this year. They've been in every game. Heck, they have a couple of plays away from being 5-0. But I need to see Snoop Dogg rally the Browns troops after they make a playoff run. Or if they're better than the Steelers, to call them a fraud. Before I go down that road, I like Snoop Dogg a lot. I think he's a legit Steeler fan. I think he's allowed to say, "What up, Dog Pound," without questioning his fandom.
But he's like trying to pump them up to win. You don't want them to win. Imagine me flying to Philly tonight to pump up the Eagles. Were you kidding me?
So you're,
can't do it.
You're calling out Snoop as being a fraud.
Yes, Snoop Dogg, Snoop-a-loop, come see me. You are a fraud. Don't want to hear you when the Steelers make the playoffs. Suddenly going gets tough and Hugh Jackson's your friend. You go run to Cleveland. Take a hike, Snoop.
All right, but let's say that the Giants have dominated the NFC East for like 20 years or maybe 30 or 40 years. And one team, let's just say it's Washington, has been 0-16, 1-15. They stink. They're terrible. They're an afterthought. They're disastrous. They're dysfunctional. And you were invited because one of your friends was Jay Gruden. You're invited over there, and you're like, come on, Washington, you can win a game. You know, it's like patting a little kid on the head.
Absolutely not. I would go watch practice, wish Jay privately good luck, then get the heck out because I am not a fraud.
Get him out.
Get him out. Get Snoop out.
Get him out.
LeSean McCoy, trade rumors that perhaps he could be on the move to the Eagles after they lost their starting running back Jay Ajayi for the season.
Yeah, I heard about it. I kind of stay focused, you know, and on the job at task at hand. I let that stuff work itself out. We'll see what happens.
I think it's totally on the table, and I think the Eagles should be kicking the tires on a trade like that. Look, the Bills don't need LeSean McCoy at this point in time. The Bills aren't going anywhere. Now, I've been very impressed they've been able to pull out two wins out of the hat this season against the Vikings on the road and against the Titans last year at home. My guess is that knocked most of you out of survivor pools this year. Those two Bills wins. But the Bills don't need LeSean McCoy. And if they can get a draft pick or two from the Eagles for LeSean McCoy, then they should definitely pull the trigger on that. Now, if I'm Philadelphia, I'm very leery on it. I'm interested. I need help at running back. I've got a Super Bowl-worthy team. And LeSean McCoy has played well for me before. But McCoy has had a lot of stuff in the background. He's got the whole thing with potential allegations, domestic violence, and violence against a former girlfriend, and who broke into the home and did that and did this. And there's a lot there that comes with inheriting LeSean McCoy. Plus, he's up there in age. And when you get him, if you're banking on just this season, all right, but you can't be banking on getting a ton of production out of a guy that late in his career, or at this point in his career, I should say. You do have Corey Clement, which is a good thing. You've got a little bit of depth there, but look, you lost LeGarrette Blount in the offseason, and now you have the injury to Jay Ajayi, and Darren Sproles has been banged up. I think you end up taking a look-and-see approach over the next 2 weeks, and if you can get him for cheap from the Bills, then you do it. And finally, Josh Norman was benched for the opening series of the second half on Monday night because he was a debacle in the first half for Washington. For those that are criticizing him, saying that he's Hollywood now.
I've been Hollywood. Ever since I came out of my mom's womb, I've been Hollywood. Everybody went right, I went left. That's just how we did. When the lights came on, that's just who we are.
Kind of like that. I've been Hollywood since I came out of my mom's womb. Imagine just like being birthed and having a pair of sunglasses on, having a mohawk already, wearing some type of chains, taking your own selfie, still got all that wet on you and the mucous membrane on you, and you're just like, yo, ma, deuces! Get that filter going on Instagram! Josh Norman is Hollywood. Now, he knew what to do to get himself paid. He played like a beast. The Panthers went to a Super Bowl. He fought Odell Beckham. He got in people's head. He chirped like Richard Sherman. He knew it would get him attention, and now he's got attention, and he softened. I mean, let's face it. He is no longer a complete shutdown, lockdown corner like he once was a couple of years ago. And what is the common denominator? Dude got paid. You can hear it in how he speaks. You can hear it in how he talks about opponents. It used to be no respect, no respect, no respect, no respect. I'll show you. I'll prove it to you. Now he didn't do that anymore. He doesn't care. Dude got paid and he is fine with it. That's your sound check. So Hurricane Michael has now blown through the panhandle in Florida, and obviously a lot of people have been affected. So help people affected by Hurricane Michael. Text Michael to 90999. That's text Michael to 90999 to donate $10 to American Red Cross Hurricane Michael Relief. That's 90999 to donate $10 to American Red Cross Hurricane Michael Relief. When we come back here on the show, Chad Pennington's going to join us. He is a two-time comeback player of the year. We'll discuss with him that Case Keenum situation we were talking about. What happened to all the Case Keenum magic from last season? As well as a huge game this weekend, Chiefs and Patriots in Foxborough. So Chad Pennington is going to come up here on the show, coming up at the top of the hour. Also, the Battle of the Bulge, huge Freeze, a.k.a. Mr. Freeze, a.k.a. Dr. Freeze, is going to join us here on the program to make his college football picks. He matches wits against Mraz in the Battle of the Bulge. A five-episode arc of PTI, Pardon the Indigestion, is on the ropes. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.